Welcome to Narc Abuse No More, where we're here to help educate you about narcissistic abuse, because your feelings do matter. Hi, welcome to another podcast of Narc Abuse No More with your host, Dr. and Evangelist, K.L. Rich. Thanks for tuning in today. What is today? Today is Monday. Yes, it's Monday, November the 14th of 2022. I pray that you've had a blessed, stress-free, narcissistic-free, abuse-free week so far, and that the remainder of this week will continue to be so as well. But if not, we're going to be talking about a few things today. Again, my name is Dr. K.L. Rich with Narc Abuse No More, where we're here to help you admit what you feel in order to heal from the effects of narcissistic abuse, because your feelings do matter. Yes, they do. But before we go on with today's podcast, I'd like to invite you to visit us on our website at www.narcabusenomore.org. Again, that website address is www.narcabusenomore.org, or you can type in narcissisticabusenomore.com. Again, that's narcissisticabusenomore.com, and on our website you find valuable information regarding narcissism, relationships, and if you have missed any of these podcasts, all you have to do is go to the archives and listen to us from our website. Now, just to let you know, we are on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Central on SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Spreaker, Google Play, iTunes, CastBox, and Deezer. We're also on Rumble, and you can listen to us all again on Amazon, Audible, and YouTube. And also, we're uploading on to Brighteon. So, if you have a variety basically of different options where you can choose to listen to us from, and if all else fail, go directly to our website. Okay, today what are we talking about? We're talking about real life stories of the abuse. Real life stories of the abuse. Every now and then I do these where we have our cafe type music going on and we listen to the real life stories of those who are being abused and have gone through abuse. And so I want to just read you some stories because some of you can possibly relate, and we're going to talk about this. So we're going to have our cozy Christmas coffee cafe type of broadcast today, and we're gonna read some stories that's based upon true stories that people have written about on the public platform. So this first one is, my narcissistic boyfriend blocked me. And it reads, it's the first time it happened. We were together for 3 years and he moved abroad. 2 days ago, we were having an argument and he blamed it all on me as usual and asked, do I want to get blocked because I can't talk to him the way I was talking? I stopped and said, let's cool off and then talk. That didn't happen. He just blocked me. And now I'm just feeling abandonment and sensing that my mind is about to turn dark and negative. It hurts. And let me just say about this. One thing when you're dealing with, if you're dealing with narcissistic type of people, toxic individuals, they will, what we sometimes call gray rock, stone you. They will block you. They will stop communicating with you because that's their way of trying to control you. So he first asked her a question, do you want to get blocked? As if she had an option of whether he was going to do it or not. But he had already chosen to block her. Now she's feeling as if she didn't get that closure that she wanted. And let me just say this, sometimes you're not going to get the closure that you want, especially when you're dealing with abusive individuals. Why? Because that's a way for them to control you still. You're not having that closure to say, well, we need to end things, we need, you know, things are not working. You know, being able to talk it through can sometimes help that person to be able to part ways, move on, or whatever the case may be. However, when you don't get to do that, then it could be a little bit harder on some individuals. But let me just say this, whether you get the closure that you want or not, it's best to still close that relationship if it's an abusive relationship. You have to close it within yourself. You may not get the type of closure that you want from the other person, but as long as you get closure within yourself. See, abusers, they're not caring about your feelings. They're not caring that you need that closure. They're only caring about being in control of the situation. And whatever way they got to control, even if that means dropping you like a hot potato without any closure, they will do that. So in this particular case, she's probably not going to get the closure that she's looking for. However, she has to find that closure from within. The next one is, I blocked him yesterday, but he found a way to contact me today. He told me that he will always be there for me and not to hesitate to come back to him if I want to. I want to, but I don't want to. It's hard to go back to being unloved when you finally felt love for the first time. Let me just say, if you have ended it with that person because you were not getting the type of love that you want, then guess what? If you go back, you're still not going to get the type of love that you want. Someone who doesn't know how to love won't know how to love because you go back into that situation again. Oftentimes, people who are unloving, they need to be taught how to love. And so you putting yourself back into the situation only adds to your abuse. It will only add to your misery. So if that person has not loved you during the time that you were with them, then guess what? What's going to change? It's not going to change unless they get some counseling, some therapy, something they find that's going to help them in order to understand what love is and how to love. It's like trying to get water out of a dry sponge. It won't happen. Therefore, you have to love yourself enough to say, you know what? I deserve better. I don't deserve this person to treat me the way that they do. How does one heal? This is our next one. How does one heal from loving someone that never existed? I'm so broken. The man I loved never existed. Nothing he said was true. How do you mourn what was never there? Well, let me just give you a tip on how to mourn something that you thought was but never was. You first have to acknowledge that the person that you wanted to love or did love did not exist. And when you come to that reality that, you know what, this is a person that was never the person I created them to be in my mind, then that's the first step. Being honest with yourself enough to know that this person never existed. I created this person because I felt the need to want this person. See, sometimes we can want someone to be the person that we want them to be, okay? We create this image of this person. We try to change them and mold them. And it's the same way that narcissists do. They want to change and mold you into whatever it is that they want you to be. And so sometimes we have this image of what we want a person to be, but the reality is that person is not who you want them to be. You can want them to be that way. You could try to love them to be a certain way. You could try to tell them you want them to be a certain way, but whatever it is that they are, they're going to be that way. You can't envision them into being something that they're not. You can't wave a wand and say hocus pocus and it's all of a sudden that way. So you have to be real with yourself that that person was never the person that you made them out to be. And once you do that, then you can mourn the fact that I made a mistake, because we have to acknowledge our mistakes as well. I made a mistake in trying to create something that wasn't there. I tried to fabricate a human being into something that was never in existence. And therefore, you mourn that and say, you know what? I have to accept people for who they are. And if it's something that I can't accept, then I let it go. Don't try to make someone into something that they're not. And when you do that, you will have an easier time of building authentic, genuine relationships. Let's move on to the next one. This next one, the silent treatment. I'm not sure if that's the word they want to use, I legitimately want out of this horrible relationship. But I'm still bothered that he's giving me the silent treatment. He had an amazing night on Monday, then Tuesday, and now today, I barely hear from him. Oh, she said we had an amazing night on Monday. He's been sleeping and depressed, I guess. And it boggles my mind how someone just doesn't want to see you or speak to you. I've degraded myself on Tuesday when he didn't want to see me. I went to him anyway. I even brought him a beer. He's an alcoholic. How do y'all get through this? It's easy to say focus on yourself doing this, but my heart legitimately can't help but be hurt over and over again. He does this frequently. I'm trauma bonded or whatever, but I keep allowing myself to go through this over and over. Well, one of the things that she mentioned is he's an alcoholic. That's your first problem right there. If someone is an alcoholic, they need help. And it can't be from you buying alcohol to continue or help them in their addiction. That's the first problem right there. The silent treatment. Well, let me just say this. If he's an alcoholic, he's dealing with his own demons. So therefore, he's not ready for a relationship with you if he's an alcoholic. He needs to help himself first. See, sometimes we try to think that we can be someone's knight and shining armor. We think that when we trauma bond, we're helping that individual, but you're hurting yourself and you're not helping them. The best thing that you can do is to allow him to get help for himself. If you know he's an alcoholic, well, why would you enable that behavior by buying alcohol? You might say in this situation, well, I don't want to be by myself. But then at the end of the day, you're still by yourself because you're worrying about why he's giving you the silent treatment. But at the end, you still know that he's an alcoholic. Sometimes he might want to be around people. Sometimes he may not. Sometimes he's going to be sleeping. Sometimes he's not. Sometimes he's going to be depressed. Sometimes he's not. What's causing him to even go to the alcohol is probably a mixture of depression and other things that he's not happy with about himself. So him being around you is not going to help that. Sorry, but that's the hardcore truth. So what can you do about it? And you're saying you're hurt over and over again? Guess what? Take care of you. Let him heal. Let him do what he needs to do. But it's probably going to be best that you all split ways and you take care of you. Because he's not in a position to be in a healthy relationship because he's not healthy himself. See, sometimes we try to make people into something that they're not, as we talked about in the previous story. You have to accept him for who he is and what he is. And therefore, you can't make someone be something they're not. And why are you getting hurt over and over again? Because you have this high expectation that's never going to be met because he hasn't dealt with his own personal demons. Therefore, you have to, in order to heal, you have to accept the fact that this person is not able to be in a healthy relationship with you, and know that you deserve better. Therefore, work on yourself and healing yourself as to why am I gravitate towards someone who doesn't obviously want to be with me, gravitating towards someone who doesn't really care if they're in a relationship with you or not. Too many times we're so busy chasing after someone that's not chasing after us. You have to recognize when it's time to cut your losses. And at the end of the day, when you're dealing with someone who is not into you, it's not a loss. Not at least for you. You're actually saying, you know what? I'm gonna gain the best that I can gain from being with the from being with a person who will be there for me too. What you're thinking is a loss is actually your gain. It's actually opening you up to being able to receive love in the way that you should be able to receive it. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in just a moment.
Like the way I'm dreaming, so let's fall in love again.
the skip level ways. Fall in Love at Christmas, Mariah Carey, Khalid, and Kirk Franklin. So we're still talking about our real life stories of the abused. I want you to think about some things this year. This year is quickly coming to an end. And this is a time to really evaluate those relationships that you are in right now. Are those relationships helping you to grow? Are those relationships challenging you in a positive way? Or do you feel beat down? Do you feel depressed? Do you feel devalued? Think about your relationships and assess those relationships. Because if you're finding that the relationship is not working for you, it's not helping you to grow, helping you to thrive, helping you be a better person, you have people that mistreat you and don't care about you, then it's time to reassess and reevaluate those relationships. Because everyone deserves love. Yes, everyone deserves love. I want to read this next one. And it reads, I told him I felt betrayed because of his dishonesty and was in pain. And he responded with telling me about his night at work. He's just not going to acknowledge it. Goes on to say, I'm at home in physical pain, haven't been able to leave my house in 2 days. And he doesn't even care. Just carrying on convoy about seeing his friends after work and a conversation he had with his boss. I know closure won't help. But after almost a decade, I should have known better. Been an adult for 10 years. And I still don't know what real healthy love is. And never had a boyfriend besides one who devalued and doesn't appreciate me. 18 months of not caring. 7 months of breaking it for one more go. And here we are. They all told me so. Back to square one. Let me just say this. When you don't have someone that cares about you, you're loving this person, but this person doesn't love you, then what is it that you need to do? You need to love yourself more. What does this mean? This is not in a narcissistic way of a selfish type of love. I'm talking about there's a healthy type of narcissism too, where you have to take care of you. If you're in a relationship, or you think you're in a relationship with someone, because oftentimes when you're dealing with narcissists, they're in a relationship of a party of one. If you're trying to be in a relationship with someone and they don't care about you, they don't care about your feelings, they don't care about your emotions, they don't care about your thoughts, your values, your goals, your dreams, your ambitions, then something is wrong with that relationship. Because guess what? It's not much of a relationship when you don't have someone that's equally important to you. You're not equally important to them as they are to you. So what do you do? She's saying that she feels betrayed because of his dishonesty. Well, she didn't go into detail exactly what that dishonesty was. But when you have someone that is not truthful in a relationship, someone that's dishonest in a relationship, then you do not have a relationship. A relationship has to be built on trust. A healthy relationship, let me rephrase that. A healthy relationship has to be based on trust. It's like you have a house that doesn't have a foundation. Well, what happens if there's a tornado or a wind? It's gonna fall. Because it's not planted on a solid foundation. Well, guess what? Trust is part of that foundation that your relationship has to be built on. And if you don't have trust, that means you got cracks in the foundation of that relationship. and it's going to fall apart. So what am I saying right now? You have to have a conversation with yourself. Forget having a conversation with the dishonest person. Have a conversation with yourself, because obviously this person does not value you. Neither do they value the relationship. See, again, we're trying to make people into something that we can't by wanting them to be honest, wanting them to be loyal, wanting them to be faithful, wanting them to be whatever it is that you want them to be. And you can't. You have to accept the person for who they are. So what that means is, when you know that a person is incapable of being what you need them to be in the relationship, sometimes you have to make that decision to let them go. Does it hurt? A lot of times it does, when it's someone that you are invested in. But remember, relationships are like an investment. They are an investment. You're investing your emotions. You're investing your feelings. You're investing a part of you into that relationship. And when you are in an unhealthy relationship, there's holes. So that investment is going literally down the drain. It's like toilet paper. One time I was at the store and I was picking up, you know, trying to choose which toilet paper to get. And I was looking at the prices of the toilet paper. And I'm like, this is literally money being literally thrown down the drain, as high as that toilet paper was. Yeah, it's going to get some use, but it's going down the drain, literally. And that's how some relationships are. You're investing, investing, investing. You're trying to do this. You're trying to do that. You're trying to be all in all to this individual. But your investment is going down the drain. Therefore, you have to know when to cut your losses. If you're dating this person, you have married this person, and you're saying, you know what, I've been with this person for X number of months, years, or whatever case may be, and you see that it's not growing, it's not thriving, it's not moving, it's not blossoming, there's nothing happening, it is time to reevaluate and reassess that relationship. Not what you want it to be, but it's reassess it for what it really is. Because if you're on a sinking ship, don't think that it's all of a sudden going to start navigating again. It's like the Titanic. It's going down. It's been hit by an iceberg, and there's no way to repair the ship. Our next one here. Why do we miss these horrible people? I find myself sometimes still longing for this person, missing him, and wanting to make contact. I don't make contact because I know the result and it will make me feel awful. I've learned my lesson enough with that. But why do these people treat us so badly, yet we still miss them? We still crave some sort of affection and communication, even though they were horrible to us. I'm petrified of my next. Yet, still, I find myself yearning. It's awful, and it makes me feel pathetic. Why is it that you feel horrible? Because we are built to love, to want to be loved, to want to be admired, to want to be respected. But when you find that these people don't do that, then it takes you out of your element, and you thinking, why can't they love me? Why can't they value me? Why can't they appreciate me? Why can't they see my worth? And depending upon the dynamics of that relationship, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a parent, whether it's someone that you're dating, sometimes it can be harder to disconnect from certain individuals. If it's a parent, then it's a different type of bond that's supposed to be with the parent and the child. But sometimes you can't make someone love you. You can't make someone respect you. You can't make someone appreciate you. You can't make someone value you. And so you're not, it's nothing wrong with you that you're missing this person. What it is you're missing, it may not even be the person, you're missing what you wanted the relationship to be. Again, we have to think in the here and the now. What is that person like in the here and the now? What have they shown you? Have they shown you disrespect? Have they shown you that they're disloyal? Have they shown you that they're untrustworthy? Have they shown you that they're unapologetic for the things they've done wrong? Have they shown you that they have no respect for you? What are they actually showing you? Because when you see that they've shown you nothing but disrespect and all the things we mentioned, plus some, then you have to say to yourself, they do not deserve for me to miss them. So you have to talk to yourself sometimes. You have to tell yourself, you know what? This person doesn't value me, so they don't deserve for me to miss them. And you have to talk to yourself. Let me just say this. Sometimes people think, oh, if I talk to myself, I'm crazy. I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. No, the best thing you can do is to talk to yourself. Talk some sense to yourself and say, you know what? This person does not deserve me. If they can't love you, they don't deserve you. If they can't treat you with respect, they don't deserve you. If they can't honor you, they don't deserve you. Because after all, you're giving all these things to this person who is undeserving of these things because they're not reciprocating it. So why is that we miss them when they treat us so badly? It's because we actually miss what we thought we had. Or in some instances, we miss what we wanted to have, but it never actually existed. It's kind of like being in a fantasy land where I'm in this fantasy land and everything is the way I want it to be. But as soon as I wake up, I see the reality that it's not what I wanted it to be. You're human. You're not a robot. And it's okay to say, you know what, I miss this person. Yes, I don't understand why I miss this person, but I miss this person even though they're treating me horrible. Because we all have feelings. And that's what we talk about on this podcast, is that your feelings do matter. But you have to be honest with yourself and say, you know what, even though I miss this person, I don't deserve the abuse. I don't miss the abuse. Look at it for what it is. If this person has been abusing you, you have to know and understand that you deserve better. Because sometimes we feel as if we don't deserve anything better. You might have listened to the abuser say, you can't get better than me. Nobody ever loved you like I love you. Let me just say this. If someone is abusing you, you don't want anyone to love you like they love you, because it ain't love. I know it's not correct English, it ain't, but I'm gonna say it ain't love. Let's read another one. I hope y'all enjoying this. I hope you're learning something from this. I reached out. I couldn't take it anymore. Against all advice, I reached out today. I couldn't deal with the loneliness anymore. I don't know what's wrong with my head, but the past week or two have been exceptionally bad. I have tried dating other people to fill the void, but they end up just being hookups, which makes me feel like I'm cheating on him. The relief that he wasn't seeing anyone else took the weight of the world off my shoulder. I have to confess, I'm almost excited and nervous to see him again. My hands are slightly trembling just thinking about it. Just meeting for coffee and drinks this evening, nothing more. But I swear it's like I'm getting an opportunity to try and win back my happiness. Well, never mind. He was a no-show and is ghosting me. I'll never learn. Wow, The outpouring of support has brought me some joy and an otherwise train wreck of a day. Thank you all so much. So she tried to go back to the person who they had broken up. She reached out and they were supposed to meet up for coffee or whatever, and he didn't show up. So what does that say? What that says is this person is not invested in you, obviously. She thought she was lonely, so she decided to go backwards and go back to a person in a previous relationship that didn't work out. But that didn't work out either, because she still wound up being by herself. And let me just say this, especially around the holidays, let me advise you all, do not settle for someone if you are hooking up with them just so you won't be lonely for the holidays. Because at the end of the day, you wind up going into this relationship knowing that it's a bad idea, and then it's still going to be a bad idea after the holidays are over. You'll fool yourself. Many people have made the mistake of going into a relationship for the holidays and then wind up years later knowing that they should never have hooked up with this individual. What am I trying to say? Be around those who want to be around you. Be around those who value you. Don't just have a hookup just because you're afraid to be alone. It is better to be in a box with a cat than it is to be with someone who does not treat you right. You have to value yourself. You have to love yourself. You have to be committed to yourself to say, you know what? I know my worth. If you don't know your worth, then no one else will. Tell yourself, I know my worth. I mentioned this before on a previous podcast that I want to get me some Chanel, and one day I'm going to have some Chanel number 5. And for ladies, you know that Chanel number 5 is not cheap. Okay, I'm talking about the original. It normally runs, what, $170-some or something along that line. I want some Chanel number 5. But one thing you notice is that even on holidays, most of the time, you're not going to find that original Chanel number 5 on sale. Why? Because they know their worth. And even if they have a sale, it's going to be very rare. Why? Because the name Chanel carries with it. What would you call it? It carries with it a weight that says, I am somebody. I am established. I am. What am I saying right here? You have to know your worth. You have to say, I'm not going to settle for something just so I can say that I'm temporarily not alone. I'm going to use this example. I am 47, I guess you can say in a half, 47 and a half years old. Never been married, never had any children. And have, you know, people wanted to date me and everything, of course. And all of them weren't bad people. But the thing is that I'm not going to settle. I know my worth. And this is not saying, oh, somebody got to make 6 figures and all that. I'm not even like that. But the thing is, I know my worth. And I'm not going to settle just so I can say I'm with someone. I would rather be by myself with my cats and my dog than to settle. Oh, yeah, you know, everyone around, especially around this time of year, everyone wants to be with someone. And that would be great. But I want God's absolute best. I don't want to feel like I'm settling for something. I want to be with God's absolute best. See, one thing is, for those of us who are Christians, we can settle for God's permissive will, where God would permit it, but it wasn't really what he had in mind for you. Or we can wait for his perfect will, which is, this is the perfect plan I have for you. There's an example in the Bible when it comes to Sarah and Abraham. Sarah and Abraham were old. They hadn't had any children. You know, in biblical times, it was a big deal to have children. You would consider it as something, you know, especially for women, something wrong with you if you don't have children. You know, some people still like that today. But if you didn't have any children. And so Sarah was up in age, and God told Abraham, though, that he was going to make him the father of many nations. But they had waited years and years, and God hadn't still fulfilled the promise just yet. So they decided to go ahead. Sarah went ahead of God and told Abraham to sleep with her handmaid, Hagar. And so Hagar got pregnant and had a child. Make a long story short, that was not the child of promise, Ishmael. Ishmael was not the child of promise. The child of promise was Isaac that God was going to give to Sarah and Abraham. See, and to this day, they're still fighting, okay? The Ishmaelites and the Israelites. But the thing is, let me just say this. You can go ahead of God and get the wrong individual. And he might permit you to go with whatever it is you want, because God doesn't force you to do anything. We all have free will. But then you can wait and say, you know what? I want to be in God's perfect will. Because when I'm in his perfect will, I'm going to have the absolute best. Don't settle. Don't settle. That's why I said all this. Don't settle. Get what God, allow God to give you what is within his perfect will. That relationship, wait for that perfect relationship. There are no perfect people, but there is a perfect person if it's within God's will that he has for you. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But when I say perfect, I mean perfect individual for you. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment.
If there were no presents waiting on Santa's sleigh, what would I wish? Christmas. And if Frosty the Snowman were melting away, I would pray for hope and unity on Christmas Day. If somehow Santa got love.
One Wish for Christmas, and that is by the late Whitney Houston. So we've been talking about real stories of the abused. I want to read you this next one. It says, what the narcissist regrets most. There is such a thing. This would be our final one. It says, there is something the narcissist may regret, something they may feel disappointed over, which is the result of something they have done or failed to do. And that is when they see that you have reached your goals, you have taken back control of your life, when you have become successful. They don't regret losing you as a person. They miss the lifestyle. They miss your tolerance of the abuse. They miss how you treated them because it made them feel relevant and important. But they took you for granted. They didn't appreciate you. They thought the grass was greener on the other side, but it wasn't greener on the other side. They ended up in a worse situation. While you moved on to become more successful, to become happier and healthier. I like that. And if it is possible for a narcissist to regret anything, they regret the abuse that they were able to give to you, because once you finally say, I have had enough, I know my worth, and I'm no longer going to be the target of your abuse, then they have to go find them a new source of supply. And so therefore, if anything that they miss, it's not really missing you as an individual, it's missing the ability to be able to take advantage of you when you didn't know what your worth was. Because once you know your value and once you know your worth, then you can say that, you know what, I will no longer put up with that kind of stuff that you used to do to me. And therefore, they got to go find somebody else to be the target of their rage, to be the target of their frustration, to be the target of their abuse. So if anything that they miss being able to abuse you and take advantage of you during a time when you were not as secure about who you were as an individual. And that's a good thing. Sometimes, you know, people, they are asked, well, how can I get back at the narcissist? You don't have to do anything. You just live your life and be happy and be successful and go for your dreams and go for your goals and all the ambitions that you have within. And when they see that you're no longer concerned about them, then they have to go get a new source of supply. Don't worry about trying to get back at the narcissist. You know, the Bible says that vengeance is the Lord's. So let the Lord take vengeance on that person. You don't worry about the vengeance. You live your life. You be happy. You be successful. You try to thrive. You try to grow. You have your relationship with God and with others. I pray that today's podcast has been a blessing to you, and that you will know that, guess what, your feelings, they do matter. This is Dr. and Evangelist K.L. Rich. Until next time, you be blessed. Thank you.